The nausea begins. I am Anton Roquentin, and I have been afflicted by a strange malady. It crept up on me slowly, insidiously, until I could no longer ignore its presence. At first, I thought it was merely a passing discomfort, a fleeting unease that would dissipate with time. But as the days wore on, I realized that this sensation, this nausea, was here to stay. It began innocuously enough. I would pick up objects, a stone on the beach, a piece of paper in the street, and suddenly be overcome by a wave of revulsion. The very act of touching these mundane items would fill me with an inexplicable dread. I tried to rationalize it, to explain it away as mere fatigue or perhaps the early stages of some physical ailment. But deep down, I knew it was something far more profound. I am a historian by trade, or at least I was. For the past decade, I have devoted myself to researching the life of the Marquis de Rolleben, an obscure French aristocrat who lived during the tumultuous years of the Revolution. I moved to this dreary coastal town of Beauville to complete my work, thinking the solitude would aid my concentration. How wrong I was. The nausea has infected every aspect of my life, including my research. When I look in the mirror now, I can no longer discern if the face staring back at me is my own or that of the long-dead Marquis. The past and present have become hopelessly entangled, and I find myself adrift in a sea of uncertainty. The existential crisis deepens. As the nausea intensified, I began to question the very nature of existence itself. The comfortable illusions that had sustained me for so long began to crumble away, revealing the harsh truth that lay beneath. I realized that I had been using my research, my obsession with the past, as a way to avoid confronting the reality of my own existence. But now, faced with this overwhelming sense of dread, I could no longer hide from the truth. I found myself wandering the streets of Beauville, observing the people around me with a mixture of fascination and disgust. They seemed so content in their ignorance, going about their daily lives without ever questioning the fundamental absurdity of existence. I wanted to shake them, to force them to see what I now saw so clearly. But I knew it would be futile. They were not ready to face the void that lurked beneath the surface of their comfortable lives. One day, as I sat in the park, I had a revelation while staring at the root of a chestnut tree. I suddenly understood that existence precedes essence. The root existed first, and only afterward did we assign it characteristics, properties, a purpose. This realization hit me like a physical blow. I saw that we are all simply here, existing without reason or justification. The nausea that had been plaguing me was nothing more than the raw awareness of existence itself. A failed reunion and a glimmer of hope. In a desperate attempt to find some respite from my existential crisis, I decided to visit my former lover, Annie, in Paris. I harbored a faint hope that reconnecting with her might somehow alleviate my suffering, that she might understand what I was going through. But our reunion was a disappointment. We had grown too far apart, and I found myself unable to adequately express the turmoil I was experiencing. Annie listened politely, but I could see in her eyes that she did not truly comprehend the depth of my anguish. As I left Paris and returned to Beauville, I felt a strange sense of liberation. I had severed my last meaningful connection to my old life, and now I was truly alone with my thoughts. But rather than despair, I felt a renewed sense of purpose. I resolved to embrace my existence in the present moment, to stop hiding behind the comforting facade of historical research. I attempted to share my newfound insights with the self-taught man, a lonely acquaintance I had made at the local cafe. But he, like Annie, was unable to grasp the full implications of what I was saying. He clung desperately to the idea of human love and purpose, refusing to accept the fundamental meaninglessness of existence that I now saw so clearly. The nausea transformed. As I continued to grapple with my condition, I began to see the nausea not as an affliction to be cured, but as a gateway to a higher understanding of reality. It was through this visceral, all-encompassing sensation that I was able to strip away the comforting illusions that most people use to shield themselves from the harsh truth of existence. I found myself drawn to the Rendezvous des Caminots, a local cafe where I could listen to my favorite jazz record. The music seemed to speak to me on a primal level, its rhythms and melodies cutting through the fog of existence to touch something essential within me. In those moments, as the notes washed over me, I felt a brief respite from the constant pressure of the nausea. But even this small comfort was fleeting. As soon as the music ended, I would be plunged back into the overwhelming awareness of my own existence. The objects around me, the glasses on the table, the chairs, the very walls of the cafe, would seem to pulse with a sickening vitality, their mere presence an affront to my senses. A new direction. Despite the constant presence of the nausea, or perhaps because of it, I have come to a decision. I will leave Bouville and my fruitless historical research behind. Instead, I will go to Paris and write a novel. Not a novel of escape or fantasy, but one that captures the raw, unvarnished truth of existence that I have come to understand. I harbor no illusions that this endeavor will cure me of my condition. The nausea, I suspect, will be my constant companion for the rest of my days. But perhaps through my writing, I can help others to see what I have seen, to understand the fundamental absurdity of life and the freedom that comes with that understanding. As I prepare to leave this town that has been my home for so long, I feel a strange mixture of trepidation and excitement. The future stretches out before me, vast and unknowable. But for the first time in years, I feel truly alive. The nausea has stripped away all pretense, all false comfort, leaving me face to face with the stark reality of my own existence. And in that reality, terrifying though it may be, I have found a kind of peace. So I will go forward, into the uncertainty of tomorrow, armed with nothing but my newfound understanding and the determination to capture it in words. For in the end, that is all we truly have the ability to confront our existence head-on and to create meaning in a world that offers none. And perhaps, in doing so, we can find some small measure of redemption in the face of the overwhelming nothingness that surrounds us.